and welcome to SMPD, the podcast where we look back at the shows that shape our childhood. I'm Chris Bolton. With me, as always, my partner in podcasting, Mr. Mark Williams.
Hello.
And this episode, we are looking back at Hallmark's 1980s just sick fest. Rainbow bright.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this put me into a coma yesterday. I might have just been tired and nodded off, but honestly, this is so fucking saccharine. I really struggled.
Wow. I mean, I was expecting it, just from what I remembered of Rainbow Bright. I was expecting it to be quite colourful and, you know, all sweetness and light. But I mean, this, fuck me, this makes Care Bears look like an Eli Roth movie. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, it's a poor man's Care Bears, but also, yeah, it's just ridiculously fucking sweet and wholesome and yeah. But I vaguely remember. I don't think I ever sort of avidly watched it. I mean, there were only 13 episodes anyway. But I vaguely remember the character designs. There's actually, and she's going to kill me for saying this, but in the first episode I watched, which is actually the third episode, because the playlist I had them on was Bass Ackwards, which we'll come on to later on. She pulls a face that looks exactly like Helen, with the sort of the slightly angry eyes and it was quite interesting.
So it's funny you should say that, because she does kind of remind me of Helen. Because I thought that too, but I wasn't going to be the one to say it. But now you've said it, I thought that too. And interestingly, you know, for regular listeners to the network, you know, if you do listen to our other shows, you'll have heard Helen on Better Than Mario last week saying that she really liked Rainbow Bright. So, you know, maybe that was off air when we were discussing.
No,
it.
That was off air.
Yeah, it was off air. So you won't have
telling
heard that.
Me we did invite her on and she didn't. We invited her to join us and she hasn't. So that kind of tells you a lot.
Yeah, but we do have it on good authority from her that she really, really likes this show. So, you know,
yeah.
Look, I'm not going to cast any more aspersions because I like my D&D character and I don't want to die for a second time.
Well, mine was supposed to die last week and she bottled it, so yeah.
I'm not going to insult our DM any more than that. but Helen responded very, like, instantly, as soon as we said Rainbow Bright, Helen was able to, like, reel all the characters off. She was like, oh, Rainbow Bright with Murky and Lurky and the Colour Kids and Sprite and...
So yeah, clearly, Sphere of Light and all that sort of stuff.
Clearly had a big influence on her. I remember watching it quite a lot as a kid, actually. Specifically because this was a girls' cartoon. So it was one of those that, like, look, because this was the late 80s, so in order for me to watch this, I had to consciously acknowledge that I was watching a girls' cartoon. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't just like, oh, like today, fine. You want to stick a little boy down in front of Rainbow Bright today, nobody's going to bat a fucking eyelid. But in the 80s, it's like, no, this is for girls. You are not supposed to like this, same as you are not supposed to like She-Ra. So there was always an element of like, yeah, but I want to watch Rainbow Bright.
I think we'd have had that as well because I've said before that we were ITV kids, but my brother was the keeper of the remote. So when like kids' TV was on, and my parents were sorting out food or whatever else, like my brother was in charge and he chose what we watched, and if this came on or Care Bears or She-Ra or anything like that, the TV went off or it went over to BBC to see what else was on. So I recognized the characters possibly from the cards, I don't know. I didn't really remember a great deal about the show, but that's probably why, because I probably wasn't allowed to watch it
because
I said it was a show for girls.
Yeah, I watched it quite a bit, as I say, and I know I had merch as well. I remember having a Rainbow Bright colouring book. I think I actually had a Rainbow... In fact, I'm certain I had a Rainbow Bright. My parents were pretty cool like that, to be fair. But again, I still had to acknowledge the fact that I wanted a Rainbow Bright, right? But the character design is quite cool, and that's the thing that I mostly remembered. Like, when we put it on the list, what I was thinking of was... the character more than anything. I couldn't remember too much about the show. I remember having the movie on VHS, so I watched that more than I watched the show. There is a feature-length Rainbow Bright movie. I just remember, like, the character, I think it's fair to refer to her as iconic. Like, that she has become one of those 80s pop culture icons that you can just see her and it pushes you in that time.
Yeah, if you look at, I think they were called Bratz.
Yes.
No, they were Bratz. They were LOL dolls.
Yeah.
And they had the same facial shape.
Mm.
And they were all very much based on Rainbow Bright as well. It was the same face, and they were molded in slightly different color plastic. They had different hairstyles, different hair colors, and then their body was some of them. Their body and their costume reflected whatever particular attitude they were or whatever it was supposed to be to make them different, but it was basically Rainbow Bright but not.
Yeah.
And that's only going back what, 5-6 years, so I mean, you know, it's still a thing. And I hadn't realized, actually we're jumping around a little bit already, but there was a reboot in 2014.
I didn't realize there were any reboots at all. It turns out there's quite a lot though, aren't there?
Yeah, there were two. There was one in 2003, which was basically they tried to reboot it, remake the original, but change some of the color kids. They were then the color crew, change some of the characters, and then the 2014 one. It was a 3-episode miniseries, I haven't bothered to look at. I've only just found out it existed, so I haven't done any research on that one. But it seems to be one of those that they have tried to reboot over and over again.
I wasn't really aware of any reboots. Like I'm aware of there being retro merchandise for the character, because you see quite a lot of old retro Rainbow Bright stuff. You know, it's new stuff, but it's got retro design. Yeah. I wasn't aware of any reboots. Look, we can jump around as much as we need to jump around. I think this is another one of those shows where we're talking, of course, about the animated show, but it was more of a cultural thing. Like, Rainbow Bright was fucking huge. I remember it being everywhere for a relatively short period of time. Like I said, I know I certainly had a coloring book, and I think I had a Rainbow Bright figure as well, because they were action figures. So I was quite looking forward to this show, just because I don't remember rewatching it at all, but I remember it being a thing from my childhood. I think I watched the same playlist as you, so they are slightly... I don't know if that's actually the order they aired in, though, because it wouldn't be unusual.
So what happened? I've got the wiki page in front of me, and basically what it's done, it's they were on the playlist. You had Perils of the Pit, or Peril in the Pits, and then the beginning of Rainbow Land Part 1 and 2. So you had your origin story, you had an episode, and then your origin story, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, I've got to be honest. But the reason that is that when somebody's listed them on IMDb, they've got the date order wrong. So that's right, the order they appear in. So somebody's made a playlist based on that, rather than going, hang on, origin story goes first. They're listed that way just because somebody fucked up.
That makes more sense, but it kind of blows what I'm about to say out of the water, because I haven't watched all 13. Could have. I'm relatively busy at the moment, but they're only 20 odd minutes of a clip. I probably, if I was really enjoying this, I probably could have squeezed 13 in. But that initial episode, watching Peril of the Pits first, I was just like, what the fuck is this? Because it's terrible. Peril of the Pits is absolutely terrible. But I've done another 3 episodes since then. So I've done what is the pilot and the first part of the Merc Monster or whatever it is, or the Mighty Merc.
Monster Merc,
there you go. That first part of Monster Merc is actually really fucking good. Like, I want to watch part two, and I will. I didn't think the pilot was too bad either. Still not brilliant.
I didn't mind the pilot. I thought it was all right, actually. I thought it was a step up from having watched Peril in the Pits.
Massive.
It was a definite step up. And there's a sequence, I think it's about halfway through the second part, where she basically infiltrates the castle, and she's trying to rescue the color kids. And there's the soundscape on it and the look of it. It looks very much like the looks and sounds like when they were building up in Thundercats, where they were outside Mumra's sub-pyramid.
Yes.
The colours were very similar, but you also had this sort of almost sort of slightly over-the-top brass soundtrack that went with it.
Mm.
And it's a reminder me of that straight away. And I thought, okay, well, that's something that, if I'm picking that up, then obviously there's intent there, but if I'm picking that up, there's going to be other stuff I can pick up as well. So having watched the Peril in the Pits first, which was fairly dire, I wasn't holding up a lot of hope, and I thought, right, okay, I'll put the next one on. And I actually thought, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. This two-parter seems to be markedly different to the one to the standalone one I just watched.
It's totally different in tone and everything. The quality is consistent in that,
yeah,
the animation at least is consistently average. It's,
yeah,
it's not very good, passable, but it's not terrible, particularly not for the kind of, you know, this is a Deke product, so it's, yeah, as good as any other Deke product. You know, as we've mentioned several times on the show, they were churning so much out at this time. Yeah. You know, and I think the animation is at least on par with them. But yeah, that first episode, especially watching it out of context, you know, there's a lot of exposition given in Peril of the Pits as well, because that's, yes, where we first meet, is it Mike? It's Mike, isn't it? The boy, yeah.
Brian.
Where the fuck did I get Mike from?
Not a clue.
I'm talking into one, so maybe I'm just thinking, like, and I've had mic difficulties this evening. So it's where we first meet Brian, and so, you know, she has to explain who she is to Brian, and that he's really gloomy because he hasn't made the team, and she's there to cheer him up. And so it does feel like it could actually be an initial episode in a run.
If the continuity was there with when they go to Rainbow Land, and it's,
mm-hmm,
because, so they, in that episode, they go to Rainbow Land, and it's all fucking lollipops and fucking, you know, colourful and cheerful and happy and fucking munchkins and all the rest of it. And then the next episode comes up and it's, you know, some fucking barren, rocky outcrop that needs saving. And because it doesn't have any colour, and Murky and Lurky are trying to destroy all the colour so they will never be, it will never be bright and happy and colourful and cheerful again. Which seems to be pretty much, from what I've read, seems to be pretty much par for the entire fucking show.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it doesn't look like it would work, but the rest of it, yeah, there is some quite nice exposition in there in terms of, you know, introducing the fact that, you know, when you walk into a rainbow, for example, the rainbow will come, you know, it washes off on you, but then you go into this fucking really hyper bright fucking thing, and then when you walk back in, you know, you're in reality again. So there's lots of stuff that we see in there. They don't explain it at all. They don't tell us why the fact that the fucking paint runs on the rainbow. They don't tell us why you go into this fucking other dimension thing once you're in it and you can turn back around and come out again. It just is.
Yeah.
And that was I was fine with that because I didn't need to know that unless they were going to make a thing of that later on. It's just one of those things, oh fuck, this is what happens when you walk into a rainbow. You're not supposed to walk into rainbows. Now, yeah, I need to take it back to clean them up. And that's the way you then enter into your narrative for that week, is, you know, it's, and it then moves you back into Rainbow Land, introduces Rainbow Land properly, because in that pilot you see it right at the end for a minute, where it's all bright and they're all happy and all the rest of it, and you learn that Rainbow Bright is the custodian of all the brightness and the colour and the cheer. But that's it. You don't learn anything about Rainbow Land. So this one feels a bit more like it should have followed directly on.
Yeah, or I would even go as far as to say, you know, particularly because this is quite common in shows of this era for them to air out of order, it almost feels like it should have come first, so that it's like, this is what the product is. So you get the kids interested, and then, you know, no kid is going to bat an eyelid that then the next 2 weeks you flash back to give the origin story, because this shit happened all the time with cartoon, yeah, runs.
True.
And so I actually thought that was correct, because, like I said, it feels like there's a marked improvement in the show from that second episode on, and it's almost as if, like, that first one was done as a kind of proof of concept, if you like, as a pilot. And everybody's like, yeah, this is pretty good. So now let's put some backstory on this. And actually, they've given this character way more backstory than I think she necessarily needed. Yeah. And I mean that as a compliment. Like, we did not need the 40-minute beginning of Rainbow Bright. All we needed really was that first episode. It's like, I'm Rainbow Bright, I ride rainbows, and I make people happy. Like,
well, that's it. Because you've got your front loading as well. So you have the intro to the episode where they tell you what Rainbow Bright is,
yep,
and you know, tells you who Murky and Lurky are, tell you what Rainbow Land is. So they have that. You know, you have that, and then you go into that episode and says, "Yeah, I fucking ride a magic horse on a rainbow, and you know, people can't walk
fine
on a rainbow.
That's what it is.
Wet paint. Yeah. Fine. And yeah, that would have worked. Then the fact you have this origin story on the back of it. As it turned out, it was supposed to be first, and it did air 6 months. Mm. The two-parter aired 6 months before Peril of the Pits, so it was clearly done that way. But yeah, you're right; it wouldn't have felt out of place if they did that.
No, it wouldn't have. And that origin story, yeah, it really is good. Like, it's very dark. I'm surprised how dark it is for a kid's cartoon.
But it was the 80s, wasn't it? If you think of some of the stuff that was around, things like Labyrinth and Dark Crystal and stuff like that, there was stuff that was aimed at kids wasn't as fucking bright and friendly and happy as it had been in the 70s. There was this sort of shift, and then it shifted again towards the end of the 80s and early 90s, where you went into things where you still had things that were tonally a bit dark. Where you've got things, and you have things like Turtles, and where there is a backstory where there is a more of a menace. It's not a monster of the week. There's a story behind it, and there's a bit more to it. And it's like this. This serves as a bit of a transition, really. So I think I don't know if I was expecting it or not, but I think there's certainly a lot more in it than I would, just looking at it, looking at the character design and reading what it's about. I'm not going and thinking, fuck, well, there's a 40-minute origin story where they're imprisoning babies and keeping the fucking whatever that thing was that looked like Palpatine was fucking holding the spheroid or whatever it's called. Mm. I wouldn't have expected any of that from a show that's about a girl who rides a flying horse around rainbows and makes everyone happy.
And I certainly wouldn't have expected it to look so nightmarish. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's got a really... Because, like, Rainbow Land has been decimated by this evil force, it's got this really barren, hellish kind of landscape, and there were, like, some quite frightening, for a child anyway, monsters. The monster design in that episode is pretty good. And there's quite a lot of peril in it as well.
There's lots of little bits as well. Like, she'll be trying to hide from it, and all of a sudden the bats will fly past her. She's got power, and you get the noise and stuff like that. And there's lots of little things of that that little kids watching that are going to be, that's going to scare them.
Mm, totally, totally. The problem is, at least, like, I haven't watched massively past that in terms of time, but in terms of the run then, I've gone two episodes past that. So that takes me just over a quarter of the entire run.
Way it splits, you had those three, and then the Monster Monk two-parter. Mm. Then you had the movie, and then you had, because they're sort of classed as specials rather than being episodes,
right?
So you have the movie, and then you have episodes 6 through 13, effectively, which follow on from the movie, because then you have the Dark Princess, and you have Onyx and whatever the fucking boy's name was. That it all kind of follows on from that. So I think that there's a continuity to it there as well. Whereas these earlier ones, I don't think it mattered quite so much. In terms of what you've actually watched through, if by the time you are to finish that second part of Monster Monk, you're a third of the way through the run, but actually you're at that natural sort of halfway point where they then kind of revamp the product and turn it into a TV show.
Yeah. And I'm sort of, when I watched the first episode, which is the only episode I'd watched by the time we were talking to Helen about it last week, and I was just saying, oh, it's bad. Like, it's really bad. Like, don't rewatch it because it's bad. I think I was unduly harsh, because having watched what I've watched now, one of my primary problems with that first episode is the complete lack of any tangible threat, because Murky and Lurky are not good villains. They're terrible. They're henchmen at best. And there's no other threat in Peril at the Pits. It is them. Whereas in the pilot and the one that I'm watching now, they are henchmen. And they work as henchmen. As long as there is a big bad. Now, whether that's a monster of the week or whether that's an overarching big bad, I don't care. But Murky and Lurky are comic relief henchmen at best. They are terrible, terrible villains. And that's the problem.
They would go on to be your Rocksteady and Bebop. It's that sort of overly inept, very sort of very stylistic, but very useless as characters. And I think that even if you'd watched that pilot first, if you'd watched that two-parter first, and then watched that episode, the fact that the overarching big bad isn't in that episode wouldn't then matter, because at least he's there somewhere.
Yes.
He is off lurking in the shadow. He is there trying to influence things or to get the color belt. By him watching that one first, you're right. There's nothing in it. It's just like, well, I've got these two fucking goofs who might as well want to drop an anvil on my head. They're not there to do anything that's going to be of any significance. And I think I had the same problems. I think I texted you might have been lunchtime today, saying, I think, because I'd watched that one, and I was like, I don't know if I can do it anymore because I just, I can't be fucking arsed with it.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I'll stick with it. I'll watch, I'll put another one on. And I saw it was a two-part as well. I'll watch the two because at least then I've done three episodes. So I've got enough to talk about. And I had the same thought. I think I was probably a bit unduly harsh on it because having now seen that and pulled a lot of the stuff out of it, the fact that it did have some, there's some very definite stylistic choices in there which carry into other shows that we've watched and other shows that we've liked, and some very some things that are very reminiscent of these other shows. I think there's a lot more merit to it. And I think that the Peril on the Pits, it seemed to be a one-off story, whereas if you have these two-parters and then you look at sort of the synopses for the episodes that follow, there's a narrative arc that goes through the whole lot of it.
Yes.
And I think that would have made it a lot more
and that's
appealing.
Yeah, that's what it needs, is that narrative arc and a decent villain. Because I think
following on from the film and doing that, you then have that.
Because I think in terms of our heroes, our core cast of hero characters, they're actually all pretty strong. Like, and the work has gone in that pilot for us to understand who they are. So I think Rainbow Bright's a great, like, we get to see her built up from a nobody, the kind of, going on her quest and gaining the power of the belt, and then, she falls in with Twink along the way and all that. So that's all really good. Yeah. If Peril of the Pits, as it was, is episode three, but then we get introduced to our human boy love interest, and then you get the triangle set up between him and whatever the fuck the name of the red, I cannot remember the name of the color kids, but the red one, there's a love triangle.
The red one is Romeo.
There you go.
That's a sprite. Sorry, Red Butler is the red color kid.
There you go. So there's a love triangle going on there with him getting quite jealous, and there's a lot of work gone into our characters. It's just not there in the villains. Yeah. So I'm interested to see if I watch more, because as I say, with Monstro Merc, like, he is quite a good villain, and what were he to be the main villain for the show, I think, and he's also, he makes more sense, because the thing with Murky and Lurky is that, they're inventing these kind of gizmos to, like, and they fall into the mind control trap as well, which I hate. I absolutely hate it as a trope. I really, really hate, and 80s cartoons are awful for it. They really are. Like, oh, here's the mind control game. Now control, you're a baddie.
Quicksand.
Yeah.
Mind control and quicksand are the two fucking things I was terrified of as a child.
Yes.
Because of cartoons.
Yeah, agreed. But it is like, aha, now you're a baddie and you're going to do what I say. And it's like, it's just really convoluted here, because it's not technically mind control, it's that they're making them so miserable that they've broken their will.
It just sucks the fun.
And they will do anything they say, because why not? That's also called growing up, kids. So I want, they're just not good. Whereas Monstro Merc's got more of this power set where he's actually able to suck color out of things and turn it black and white and remove hope that way. So he's diametrically opposed to Rainbow Bright. She puts color in, he takes color out. Yeah. And there's a point in that episode where they are sort of directly pushing against each other, where he's trying to take the color out of a rainbow and she's putting the color back in a rainbow. And it's that kind of who's stronger. It's almost a lightsaber fight, almost, like who's going to break the guard, so he makes much more sense. I think, I'll see how it goes. I not to bury the lead, we've still got a bit of talking to do on this, but I think it's done enough that I want to see more, because I'm curious. And if I start watching more and it's not turning a corner by the time I hit the episode after Monstro Merc, then I'll probably knock it on the head and never come back to it ever again. But if it's able to turn that corner, I can see the potential in this. I can see that it actually has the potential. It's never not going to be saccharine sweet. That's intrinsic to what it is. And it's never not going to be overly simplistic in its themes. Which I'm sure we'll come on to very shortly. But I think it's got the potential to be a decent little animated hero show, basically, like a little kid's action show. And I'm fine with that. I can do 13 episodes of that. But yeah, just like mentioning the themes as well, one of the things that really rubbed up against me in Peril of the Pits, and it's probably because I watched them out of order and I didn't have the context of the opening. I don't think it makes it any better, but I think the opening at least helps you to understand Rainbow Bright more and where she's coming from.
Yeah.
But the message in that episode in Peril of the Pits is like, hey kids, don't be depressed. And that's it. It's just like that's how easy it is. Hey, don't be depressed. Have some color.
You know you're depressed. Try not being depressed.
Yeah, it's that, isn't it? It's like, well, have you tried?
You know, you stuck your hand in that machine and ripped your fingers off. Well, just pretend it didn't.
Yeah. Have you tried not being a miserable cunt? Which, like, it is so overly simplistic. And I'll put my hands up. I am super guilty of that approach, not to the level that Rainbow Bright takes. But I'm one of those people. I'm fortunate enough that I think I'm relatively mentally stable. And what I mean by that is, like...
Listeners, if you disagree with that, let us know.
I mean, I've had a fucking kicking over the last 5 or 6 years. I've had one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. But I'm one of those people that just keeps moving forward, right? I subscribe to the Rocky Balboa school of life. It ain't how hard you can hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And because I'm in that mindset, I sometimes find it quite difficult. When people are having a bad day, I find it quite difficult to not be just like, oh yeah, but come on, really? Sort yourself out. But I'm aware of that. And that's something I've been working on myself, because I'm aware that sometimes I could be a bit of a cunt with that as well. Because I will just be like, yeah, but if that was me, I would just get on with it. But it's not me, and that's the point, right? And everyone's different. Yeah. And this kind of takes that approach. So I think this may be... I don't think it's unique to me, but maybe I'm seeing it more because I've almost got a bit of a mirror reflection there where I'm going, hang on, Rainbow Bright, you're being a bit of a bitch here. Like, you can't... The guys...
But it is a product of its time as well. I mean, obviously, we know people who've, you know, who do suffer with depression and things like that. And certainly for our parents' generation and people who were grown up at the time this would be on, that was their response as well. Yeah, but just don't be depressed.
Yeah, literally.
If you are depressed, that's fine. But just get on with it anyway. Just fucking put your socks up and get on with shit. And it was very much that's how you dealt with mental health in the '80s. It was like, just fucking, if you can't afford any coke, just fucking put your socks up and get on with it anyway. Don't worry about it. It is what it is. Just fucking do it. And that's kind of what this message is here. It's like, nothing's that bad. Just cheer the fuck up. Chill out.
You're absolutely right. And you know, I know that's where I've got it from as well. You know, we've talked about this in the show before, but growing up in working class communities in the 80s, it was just like everything's shit all the time. So it's pointless being depressed. If you're not
dead, just fucking get on with it.
Yeah, it's pointless being depressed because it ain't going to change anything. Like, everything's shit. It's only going to get more shit. So
yes. And the more you dwell on it, the worse you're going to feel about it.
Just accept it and get on with it, right? Just wade further into the shit. Sooner or later, you'll come out the other end. So I know that's where I've got it from. I'm fully aware of that. I recognize that in myself. But just like we say about, you know, other issues that we look at on this show, that doesn't make it right. And I think it's something that we have to consciously acknowledge when we're watching this show. And it's something that's very blatantly obvious to me because I've been doing that work myself. I'm kind of seeing it. Do you know what I mean? So it stood out to me. Same as when we get fat shaming and stuff on the show. I'm like, oh, hang on, I know about this. So it stands out to me a little bit more. For people who aren't regular listeners, it's not that I'm the bully doing the fat shaming, by the way. It's that I was constantly bullied for being a really fat kid, so that triggers me as well. This year I was just looking at it thinking like, yeah, this is one of those things that it's another one of those cultural lens things where it's wrong to change it. This is a product of its time. You're absolutely right. And if you took that out, it would cease to be Rainbow Bright, because she has to be sunny and happy and optimistic and always like, hey, turn that frown upside down, here's some fucking color, drop some ease, come with me. However,
that's very much it, isn't it?
Oh, it's just totally what it is. Like, here, have some drugs. Come with me to Rainbow Land on my fucking horse that can ride on rainbows. Like, yeah.
Although that bugged me, actually. The whole thing. It rides on the rainbows. Yeah, the rainbows are solid and it rides on them. Why do people keep saying it can fucking fly? It's not flying. It's running on a solid rainbow.
They very specifically address that as well. And several times, in fact, they address the fact that he isn't flying. He's running on a rainbow. Not sure how the physics of that works, but whatever. We'll go with it. It's a cartoon. Don't care.
Yeah, I don't think you can manipulate rainbows so it would come up with a fucking belt either. So, you know, they're magic rainbows. It's fine.
Yeah. I like that as a concept that he's not flying, that she's projecting the rainbows for him to. It's almost like a Frozone kind of thing, right? Where he's throwing the ice down in front of him and skating on it. It's like that's how she's traversing Rainbow Land and stuff. And then there's the magic key as well that she gives to the boy that he can open a fucking wardrobe with and walk into Rainbow Land and stuff like that. So look, you just hand wave all that stuff. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, her attitude's very much like, hey, don't be depressed. Turn that frown upside down. Come with me. Blah, blah, blah. And you can't remove that. But I think in today's society and being where we are now as a society with mental health and being much more open in talking about it, it kind of just grates a little. Now, I'm sure that's not there in the reboots, and I'm sure that it's been addressed. And I think we also have to look at the fact that whilst that, you know, we could see that as perhaps negative, there is also, I think, a lot of good in here as well from a cultural value standpoint. It's very diverse and inclusive. I mean, it's super coded. I don't know, but I would be willing to bet everything I have on the fact that Rainbow Bright is a gay icon. Because
I'd imagine so.
This thing is so coded, it's unbelievable. So there's all of that, you know. The color kids themselves are, I mean, yeah, they're different colors. Make of that what you will, but they are actually quite specific about the fact that they're all individual, and you know, they're all the same, but they're also all different. So inclusivity is a big thing here, and I remember reading actually in the reboots that was brought to the forefront as well. So there is a lot of good in here as well. It's just one of the first things I got out of it within the opening minutes of that episode was like, oh, this is just really selling down mental health here, isn't it? This is just like, hey, don't be miserable. I'm the magic rainbow fairy. And unfortunately, that's kind of the heart of the show, isn't it? It's like it's her mission to spread joy and cheer. So I get why they do that.
Especially, you know, on the back, it's selling greetings cards. And you don't have that many greetings cards for, oh, you're a miserable twat this week.
Yeah.
It's all, no, get well soon. It's all nice and cheerful stuff. Even when, you know, somebody's died, oh, with no love and sympathy and all this. It's never a case of, well, he's a cunt, he's going to be dead anyway. It's never any of that. So, it's always going to be that. No, that's always going to be the message you're going to get out of these. I said it was the 80s. You didn't do mental health.
It was acceptable in the 80s. Simple as that. You could get away with this shit. There's that. I think... But for everything it does that's, I mean, it's not handled very well. Like I said, it's brought to the forefront, but there's still at least, there's thought gone into that, and there's thought gone into the world, and there's thought gone into the backgrounds of these characters. But for everything it does right in the writing like that, it then also just does, it, like the dialogue is fucking awful. The expository passages are fucking awful. And again, look, it's par for the course in an 80s cartoon, but not all of them do this, and the good ones don't. So you have to judge it against ones.
Yeah, it's not as if everybody was doing the same thing, and now you're looking and go, well, that one's done slightly better than that one. You know, some people did it properly, other people didn't. So that's kind of, as I say, that's how you sort of how you have to measure it.
Yeah, and I think it's a shame that actually, again, when you look at the pilot. And you mentioned there was a lot of stuff that was kind of shown, not explained, but just shown to you. And you can extract the information from that if you want, or you can just not. It doesn't really matter. But there was an acknowledgement there that they need to show it. And then they go down the route of clumsily explaining other things in huge passages of expository dialogue and people talking about, hey, I'm going to go over here now before this rainbow vanishes. And it's just, yes, it's clunky. It's very clunky. The writing is downright abysmal in places.
Yeah,
if we're being honest. It's not. Which is a shame. The performances are decent. I think all the voice performances are pretty good. But then you look at the cast and it's hardly surprising.
You know, I was going to say.
You know, it's all the regulars in there. Yeah. Peter Cullen, yet again. You know, so it's Pat Fraley as well.
Any other fucker, isn't he?
Yeah, Pat Fraley as well. You know, so it's the same old, so you would expect it to be good. Like I say, the animation is no better or worse than any other Deke product. It's of an I don't want to say an acceptable standard. That's a horrible thing to say, but you know what I mean. It's certainly past. Yeah. It's not the best. It's not the worst. So, you know, ultimately where it all comes down with me then is like, can this story keep me interested for another 7 or 8 episodes?
Yeah.
And I don't know, but it's going to keep me interested for another 1 or 2 at this point. So I think I was very harsh on it to begin with. Because I bounced off the saccharine sweetness of it. And I'm not somebody that's overly turned off by that stuff normally. I'm just like, oh, okay, it's all rainbow colours and it's all super bright. I can go with that. But this was just so, like, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? It is absolutely... Yeah. Oh, I mean, we should have expected it from a cartoon called Rainbow Bright. But, you know, it's ridiculous. And I think that's actually... We mentioned it being a girl's cartoon at the start. I think it's purely just because of those rainbow colours and that saccharine sweetness. Because, as we said, otherwise, the story itself is pretty dark. And there's quite a lot of... It's quite a lot of action in it. Not much peril, but quite a lot of action. So, I think it's only a girl's cartoon because they were girls' toys, right? Because they were dolls.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and because like Twink and the Sprites are little fuzzy looking things.
Yeah, they are cute and cuddly and furry. And not only that, your lead is female.
Yeah.
And that's the same as them. I think that was Lego's thing, wasn't it? When Lego said we need to attract more girls, so they made sets where they made it was a Lego Friends, I think it was, and they had
white ponies and
yeah, and all they needed to do was make a fucking hairpiece with a ponytail on it.
Yeah,
because I mean, from experience with number one, she was never that interested in Lego, but when she was, she wanted to build shit. She wasn't that interested in the cafe and the little fucking Persian cat and the ponies and all that. She wanted to build shit.
Yeah.
And if you want a girl character, you put one with long hair or you put a fucking ponytail on it. And that's as easy a signifier as anything else.
Yeah, totally. I mean, again, this was 80s gender politics, though, wasn't it? It was still very much like boys'
But she was wearing blue. What the fuck's that all about?
She is wearing blue, actually, but she's also wearing yellow, pink, green, violet. You know,
but predominantly blue, which as a girl in the '80s, that's not allowed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's because she's so blonde as well, and the two just go together, like the blue and the yellow. I think her character it's so striking that character design. Like you instantly recognize her. You know, I mean, she's basically strawberry shortcake with different color hair and a different outfit. I know, but you still instantly recognize her when you see her, and I would. You know, even were we not doing the show and were we not looking back, like, you know, it's not a character I think about on the reg, but if somebody were to show me a picture, like, even if I never watch it again after this, right, we don't hear about it again, and in 20 years' time, somebody puts a picture in front of me, if I'm not senile, I will be able to go, that's Rainbow Bright. Like, I will remember that character.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, funny enough, I was watching... sad news, our kids are off school, so I'm not working this week. And so I was watching it in the living room. Kids were doing something, not murdering each other, which, you know, that's all I can ask for in the end of school, end of summer, all this. So I was watching it in the living room, and Tori came in and said, oh, that's Rainbow Bright.
Mm.
I used to love this when I was a kid. Couldn't remember fuck all about it.
Yeah.
Remember to kind of recognize the character, recognize a couple of the characters, didn't know anything about the story, and but she's like, I used to love this when I was a kid. I thought, straight up, as you said, it's just such a striking visual that immediately, you know, she walked in the room having not seen it for 30 plus years and gone, oh fuck yeah.
And it's interesting as well, isn't it, like we say about girl show and boy show. So Helen loved it as a kid, like really loved it, She was talking about it. Like I said, she could name all the characters we brought up last week. Then Tori recognized Rainbow Bright, said she used to love it as a kid. I know for a fact Sarah used to love it as a kid as well. So, you know, the girls of our generation clearly connected with Rainbow Bright. So it was mission accomplished.
It
did something right. So I'm interested to watch more. I know it's still got a huge fan base. Like, had we been absolutely dragging it through the mud in this episode, I would expect some hate mail. But I think we're being fair so far. The one thing we haven't talked about, which is god-awful, you touched on it, but I want to talk about it anyway in more depth, is the music. The music is fucking dreadful. The theme tune is awful. Awful. Yep. It's just the most horrible 80s muzak you could possibly... It's disgusting. But more than that, it's the ripping off of famous action themes. You mentioned the Thundercats theme, or some of the music of Thundercats. Have you heard how often the He-Man theme is in this?
Yes.
It is like every 30 seconds, but it's they vanilla iced the He-Man theme.
Yes.
It just goes do-do-do-do-dum. And then...
Yeah,
They leave it for a good minute before going do dum da do dum.
So I picked it up. I don't sleep much anyway. But at the moment, I'm in the sort of the 30 to 40 minutes a night, so part of my sleep cycle at the moment. So I've been up since about 2 o'clock this morning. So I was watching it this afternoon, really struggling to concentrate and really struggling to stay awake. And I heard this, and I had to rewind it and go, hang on.
That's He-Man.
When did fucking He-Man start?
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm going, am I watching a different thing now? Have I nodded off and something else has started behind it? Because I was watching it on YouTube. And I was like, have I now gone into something else? Because that's finished and I've been asleep.
Mm.
And when I looked, I was actually, it was like 10 seconds past since I closed my eyes. So I hadn't missed anything. But I was like, hang on, that's not fucking right.
But yeah. There is something up here. Yeah, it's shameless. The plugin.
Oh, completely.
The ripping off of the music. What was that like watching this at 2 a.m.? That must have been a trip.
Well, yeah.
Watching this sleep deprived at 2 a.m. Like,
well, you know, again, that may have been where, because I watched most of the first one, The Peril in the Pits, I watched yesterday. And then I was finishing it off this morning, and I was, not that impressed. But then by the time the next one started, I'd sort of woken up a bit, and I was a bit more with it. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's that part where the brain fogs over, and the things are happening around you rather than you taking all of it in.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd fancy watching it at fucking 2 a.m., to be honest. I think it would spin me out.
I'd rather have been sleeping, to be honest. But
yeah. So, yeah, I'm actually, I don't know where I stand with this at the moment. I think there's a lot of potential in it, but none of it is fulfilled yet. But I also don't feel like they've pissed on their chips for me either. So, but that is specifically because I've watched it out of order. Because if I hadn't, I'd have gone to that third episode and gone, oh, this is fucking taking a nosedive.
And the thing is, that's fairly common as well. If you look at a lot of the things we watch where they have a pilot, or they have a feature-length pilot especially, or where they'll do a pilot, which is actually a feature-length thing, split into 4 or 5 episodes. And then you go from that, where it's all, because that's your proof of concept, and that's where all the money and the time and the effort goes. And then you go, oh, right, we've been picked up. Shit, now we need to produce another half a dozen episodes by whenever. And that's when the quality dips.
Mm.
And that's that probably would have been my assumption there, is that, right, they went out and did the pilot, and they went, oh, fuck yeah, brilliant. And then six months later, when this one airs, like, oh, shit, they really never planned for this. They just had to churn out more episodes because they didn't think they were getting past the pilot. And that's probably where I'd have then gone, ah, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah. I don't know. This is a very strange, strange show, I think.
What, Rainbow Bright or SMPD?
No, Rainbow Bright. the SMPD...
We've always been strange.
...is probably the most normal of all our shows. I would say. Yeah, I don't know where I sit with it. I do not know where I sit with it.
I think for me, not having sort of the history with it, I think I've put it on. I didn't enjoy the first one because, yeah, I think as I said in my text, my brain was dribbling out my ears by the time Baron the Pit finished. Mm. And I was thinking, shit, can I really be asked to do any more of this? I thought, right, I've got it. I need to do more. I need to sort of watch at least two or three more just so I know where I stand. But yeah, I'm looking at this thinking, it's saccharine sweet. It's entirely inoffensive. It's not doing anything. And I'm looking at it thinking, I'm curious to see how it would pan out with those six or seven episodes post the movie when they've got the one arc, but I don't know if I can do it to myself to actually sit down and watch them all. And I think everything else is going on at the moment, I just can't really be asked.
I think I'm in the same place. I want to do at least another one. I want to finish Monstro Merc.
Yeah,
and because I remember the movie, I think I'll watch the movie as well. But then, if it hasn't sold me by then, it's not going to. And I think I'm already giving it more of a chance than I give most things at that point.
Yeah.
But I think I'm willing to, just because so many people we know have all said they remember it fondly. I remember the cultural impact of it. It's had two reboots. The character is still around. So there's obviously something. Maybe I'm grasping at straws. Maybe I want it to be better than it is. I don't know. But maybe. It's also not the instant disappointment that I've had with, say, Raccoons or Raggy Dolls. It's kind of... Yeah. I think I'll do some more. And maybe I'll report back, listeners. Maybe give it another... By the time I watch this along with the other stuff we've got as well, give me like another two or three episodes. And do remind me, Mark. Give me another two or three episodes and I'll report back. But for the moment, I think I'm just sitting on the side of like, this is probably good, but could be bad, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's similar to we had on Mario last week, where you're almost on the fence, but not quite.
Yeah, so I'm interested. Yeah,
I'm kind of the same, and I just don't really. It's not. I'm not sitting here thinking, I think because I haven't left it in a place where it's open-ended, like I haven't left in the middle of a two-parter, for example. Mm. I'm not, and I don't recall seeing the film. I may have done, I don't know. But I'm not sitting here thinking, but this was all right, or this just doing this, or I just need to do this, need to finish that off. I finished at the end of there was a very definite ending point to that episode.
Yeah.
And I can quite happily leave it there. And I don't need the rest of it. Now, that may be me missing out, that may be me being a lazy cunt, which is entirely possible. I don't think I'm going to lose any sleep over not seeing the rest of it, mainly because I don't sleep to lose it in the first place, but what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think I'd lose sleep if I never watched it again. I think I'm interested enough to give it a go.
I think ambivalent is probably the phrase.
Yeah, ambivalent would be a good way. Yeah, I think ambivalent would be a good way to describe it. It's I'm interested enough to carry on. It's just we watch a fuck ton of stuff for this network business.
And then we have lives as well.
Yeah, there's only so many hours a week I can get away with watching cartoons. And so it's whether I want to use some of those hours to pursue more Rainbow Bright or whether.
Yeah.
I move on to the next thing. So, but in the meantime, I think, in summation, this is certainly not the fucking shit show I thought it was going to be when I started watching this.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Nowhere near it. I'm surprised that it took a stab at so many lofty ideals that you wouldn't expect in a show about a fucking magical elf thing that rides rainbows. I'm surprised it decided to take a stab at mental health and inclusion, and all good. I think there's all good intent. I don't know if it's stuck the landing.
I think the intent is good, the execution isn't quite there in places, but
I think it's not helped.
That's You could say that now. There are lots of things that have good intentions now that actually, you know, I think we talked on Better Than Mario, we were talking about Codename Dinastad. It was so, for large swathes of the film, it was so intent on making sure people were had something to say, it didn't actually fucking say it. And it was only then when you got the coda at the end, you went, right, okay, that, no. It was quite obvious what they were trying to say, but actually getting them to say it is an entirely different thing. And it took until the end of the film to do that. And yeah, I think, no, not that that's, no, this is that to any degree, but just having that, you know, having that thing, which is, yeah, they are trying to tackle these things. They are trying to say something and just not quite pinning it right.
No, and I don't think it's helped by the fact it's kind of stablemates with K-Bears and My Little Pony as well.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously K-Bears we have watched and tremendously enjoyed. I remember both of us really enjoying K-Bears and saying it was still really good and it does handle this stuff really well. We haven't watched My Little Pony yet.
Not for the show, but having spent the last 11 years with a fairly precocious daughter, I've seen quite a lot of it. And including, you know, from the original ones all the way through.
I was
going to
say, is that the original or the newer ones? Because, I mean, the new stuff is super popular, isn't it?
Yes.
But, I mean, I haven't really seen any of that. So that's one to put on the list, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that to do that, I mean, because it spans so much. And the original ones, again, very similar in tone to this. Whereas the new ones are... They've got a bit more of the Looney Tunes about them. They're a bit more frenetic. They're a bit more energetic.
Spunk. The new ones.
Horses and Spunk is not really a conversation I want to have.
They're ponies.
I've seen that
movie.
They're
ponies full of spunk. That's what the new ones are. Spunky ponies. I'm going to stop saying spunk now.
But yeah, so I think that's... There's some very interesting comparisons to draw between the two, because it's the same property and there are some of the same characters and some of the story arcs are the same, but they're told in a different way. So I think that there's definitely some stuff to talk about there as well. But yeah, and I think that may be something to think about with Rainbow Bright as well. The fact that we have had these two reboots, one in 2003, one in 2014. Maybe we're doing a disservice by not comparing the different iterations. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure at least one of those reboots was universally hated. So there's probably...
I would say probably. I mean, the 2014 one had Molly Ringwald in it. So no, if that's not a sign of quality, I don't know what is.
Yeah, there you go.
But then again, fucking hell, it was a... Yeah. Again, tying into toys, though, tying into the toy line, because Hallmark had they did the cards, and then they licensed the toys as well. So there are six generations of Rainbow Bright toys.
All of this is about selling toys. Like, don't kid yourself. Every cartoon of this era.
Well, this one just had the added bonus having greetings cards as well.
Yeah, yeah, and comics, and coloring books, and curtains, and bedspreads, and Happy Meals, and. All about the merchandising, and to be fair, she's perfect for that. Like I said, that character and her design is iconic. All in all, I think I'm sitting resolutely on the fence with Rainbow Bright. It's not one I can recommend to you listeners and say go out and watch it, but it's also not one I'd say give it a wide berth. Like, I think this is one of those where if you are one of those people that remember it as a kid and you did fondly remember it, then yeah, maybe it's worth a revisit just for the nostalgia hit.
Yeah.
If not, though, I don't know yet. I don't know if I can say give it a look.
I mean, I'm coming at it, I'd say I'm coming at it relatively new, and I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not really grabbed me, but then again, I'm in my 40s and it's not really aimed at me, so.
Yeah, and we're both miserable old cunts, so, you know, not really a this boss is treat, is it? But have you ever tried not being a miserable old cunt, Mark? That's the really question. That's, you know, the really pertinent question.
I did once, but then it made me too unhappy, so I had to go back to being miserable.
There you go. All right, listeners. Yeah, I think we're kind of there, aren't we? There's not much more to say about fucking Rainbow Bright because both of us are so ambivalent about it. That it's not like I'm super impassioned that I'm going to sit here and bang the desk and tell you, no, Mark, you just don't understand how good it is. nor do I particularly give a fuck the other way. So
yeah, that's it.
It just kind of is.
Yeah, I think we've been quite even-handed with it. As I said, I don't think we've annoyed too many super fans. Hopefully not. I can't be asked to deal with the hate mail again.
If you're a fucking Rainbow Bright fan and you're writing hate mail to anybody, then surely...
Kind of missed the point.
Yeah, exactly. So...
But, you know, it's the 21st century and the internet's a thing and people are cunts, so, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, peace and love and rainbows and acid and stuff, so...
Back in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see anyway. I'd be quite interested to see what people think with this one because, as we said, everybody we've spoken to about it has gone, oh, I remember that. I used to really like that.
Mm.
So, I'd like to know what people think about it. Mainly not having listened to us moan about it, you know, or us just going, it's not really that. What your recollections are. Just because I'm bored and miserable and could do with the company. But as always, get in touch on SMPD on Twitter at SMPDpod. You can go to our website, ddpodcast.net, where you can also get other episodes of this show and our other shows. Wherever you get your podcasts from, subscribe, leave a message, and we'll get back to you the best we can. Until next time.
See you later. So the shiny light in everything.